Hey there, this is Rich Pav from www.haroflumjapan.com. I'm the last person to leave the office today. It's 7:30. All wired up. Got my mic on. All of my binaural microphones are broken. I've gone through three pairs already. The last pair was great. Had a preamp attached, but every pair I've had so far, one of the microphones has crapped out. And I should probably send them back for repair if they will repair them. Turn this printer off. So last week, because I was out of practice, I didn't have the microphone level set right. I cranked it up quite a bit, so it should be okay this time. I was just cleaning off my desk for the first time in a long time, and I found some questions that someone had asked me a long time ago. I don't think I ever answered them. I just lost them. I was going to answer those. I'm not going to find them for another year. Shoot. Stuck them somewhere, so I wouldn't lose them. You know, the guy that I met on the street last time, I asked him, you know, is there like a song that you could let me play that would be a sample of your music? And I think I asked the wrong question. What I should have asked was, what's the one song that people are going to listen to of yours that are going to make them want to listen to more of your music? And unfortunately, the song he gave me was just 45 seconds of him just playing guitar, and it kind of sounded like he was practicing scales. I listened to the rest of the CD he gave me. It was just a little sampler CD with five songs, and the other five songs were a heck of a lot better. So I really want to meet that guy and get to know more about him. He was a monk for quite a long time, and it sounds like he quit the monastery and became a musician. He lives in Yamanashi Prefecture, which isn't very close. I don't know how often I'll be able to see him. I've met quite a few artists in Japan who play on the streets, and they don't know anything, I'm picking through the garbage right now, about the internet. But they all seem, they have one thing in common, is they all seem to be afraid of it. I guess if you don't know about the internet, then the only thing, and you're a musician, the only thing you hear about is people pirating songs, and they don't know about the way that the internet is used a lot these days for people to discover new music. And I get the feeling it's hard to convince them that losing control of your property can be actually a good thing. The one example that... Oh, here it is, I found it. I found the questions. I'll get to them. The one example that I can think of, the most recent, was a couple of weekends ago. There was a post on dig.com, D-I-G-G.com. That's where I get all my news these days. About a group, an acoustic, well, they're not acoustic, but the song was acoustic, group from Scottsdale, Arizona, called Obadiah Parker, which is a very difficult name to remember, that did a cover version of Outkast's Hey Ya. And I'm going to play that at the end of this podcast. It's completely illegal, but it's too good not to share. And it's already been shared all over the place, so I don't feel too guilty about it. He did an acoustic version of Hey Ya that was absolutely excellent. And what happened, a friend of theirs recorded a video of the lead singer singing acoustic on an open mic night at some local bar in Scottsdale. Well, that got posted to the internet, and about a week later, it just exploded all over the place. And they were very, very, the whole band was very surprised at the reaction they got. And I found out more about them. I found some links to their MySpace page and to an MP3 and the video on YouTube. And I contacted them and asked them about, you know, can I buy their album? And he was nowhere near set up to sell CDs. He said that the only time they've ever sold CDs is when they do concerts or, you know, gigs. And now he's getting requests from all over the world. And I said, you know, I just want the songs. I don't want the CD. Just tell me what I have to pay to get the MP3s. And he said, well, $5. So I PayPal'd him $5 a couple days ago. And I'm waiting to hear back from him so I can get the link to where I can download them. So that's pretty amazing. You know, they lost control of one song, which is something that a lot of musicians are terrified of. And it turned out to be a really, really good thing. They got, from the attention, they got an interview on a local radio station. A whole lot of good came out of it. Well, the one thing that musicians tell me when I talk to them on the streets in Tokyo is, you know, I don't want you to put my music on the internet because, you know, people are going to give it away. And I'll tell them, hey, you know, you're selling CDs. If people want to give it away, they're already doing it. You know, anyone can buy your CD and put it on the internet. So there's really nothing to be afraid of. And really, you know, it doesn't matter how many CDs you don't sell. It's, you know, how many CDs you do sell. So I have a couple of musicians that are supposed to get back to me, and I haven't done it yet. And that's one thing that I would really enjoy doing, and I hope I can make money from it. Like, I would like to do consulting for artists. Ooh, dead bird. For artists to teach them how, you know, what venues are available on the internet for selling music. How to set up a presence on the web, and how to get your music promoted through podcasts. Now, I started doing that, or I tried to do it, with Ice Cube and their manager. The last time I heard from them was last February, and it's mostly my fault that we lost touch. But the woman I was talking to, their manager, really, really nice person. It's like, she was the kind of person, like, the first time you meet her, you're already friends. I like that. She quit Yamaha Music because Yamaha's not doing very well. They don't have any really big artists, and the music industry is getting much more difficult these days. I guess, you know, a lot of people like me just aren't buying music anymore. I was looking through my music collection on my hard drive at home of all the CDs that I have that I ripped. And man, I used to spend a lot of money on records or on CDs. And I just don't do that anymore. It's like, you know, a lot of our income that we can, you know, spend on anything that's not earmarked for something. I know there's a word for that. Goes to entertainment, or at least it used to. And I used to spend a lot of that money on CDs, and I just don't do that anymore because there's really nothing out there I want to buy. And personally, I just I don't feel good giving my money to the music industry. I would much rather give my money directly to an artist, and that's the only way that I buy CDs these days. Is if I hear an artist on the street. And if I'm able to buy the CD directly from them, I feel much better about it. And, you know, their music isn't any worse than stuff that's coming out of record companies. So, that's that. I guess I'll splice in that tune from Obadiah Parker right now. So here's Obadiah Parker doing Hey Ya.
Ah, baby, don't mess around, because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. And by does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door. Can't stand to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Well, thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know how. And hey, hey, you got it, and oh, you think you got it, but got it, just don't get it till there's nothing at all. You get together, oh, we get together, but separate's always better when there's feelings involved. If what they say that nothing is forever, oh, then what makes love the exceptions? Why, are we so in denial when we know we're not happy here? And hey, hey, hey. A few seconds here, don't make me break it down for nothing. I wanna see you all on your all's baddest behavior. Love me some sugar, I am your neighbor.
That was Obadiah Parker doing Hey Ya. Check him out at obadiahparker.com, and they have a MySpace. I'll put a link to all of the links that I found when I first discovered them. You know, now that musicians are taking advantage of this new democratic media, I expect to see independent filmmakers doing the same thing next, and hopefully iTunes will help them out. You know, if there was a section on iTunes for independent filmmakers, and each film had a little write-up and comments from viewers, just like they have for podcasts, so that, and maybe a trailer, I would definitely download a whole lot of independent films. And that can't be a bad thing for Apple either. If the established film companies, you know, don't want to go onto iTunes, they should let the independent filmmakers do it. So that break gave me a chance to look a second time for where I put the questions. Here we go. This was from, oh my God, it's from Monday, January 16th, from Ken. It says, "Hey Rich, love the show. I'm glad to see you still have the energy to complete the first 50 podcasts. I have been watching, listening since the Walk to Work episode video." I'm going to find that. I'm going to put that on the DVD. "I have some questions for you. What first brought you to Japan?" Well, when I was a junior in high school, I decided I wanted to be an exchange student. So I was a Rotary exchange student. And when you're accepted, after the interview, they have you fill out a form, and they give you a list of countries you can potentially go to, and you have to list, like, from 1 to 10, what are the countries you want to go to. Well, I wanted to go to Japan, but I knew it would be too expensive. So I think Japan was maybe number 3 or 4. Number 1 was Mexico, because, I don't know, I guess I was just afraid to go somewhere too far. Number 2 was Ecuador. Number 3 maybe was Japan. I ended up going to Ecuador. And it was a life-changing experience. I got used to being a foreigner. And I came back speaking more Spanish than English. When I looked through my notes from my first year in university, they're over half written in Spanish. And I still speak Spanish probably better than I speak Japanese. And I always wanted to go to Japan. So after I graduated from college, I still had a few months' rent left on my apartment in State College. I went to Penn State. So I decided to take a course over the summer after I graduated from college, an intensive language course in Japanese. It was, I don't know, 5 or 8 hours a day for 2 months. So that gave me a base. And that course was just about to end, and I still hadn't found a job. And it was pretty bad. It was back in 1990 when the economy in the U.S. was very bad. It was very difficult to find a job. So I decided that I would get a job in Japan. And just by luck, one of the teachers mentioned that there was a town in Japan that was looking for someone to teach English in junior high schools. So I applied for that job and got it. It was just a 1-year job. It wasn't the JET program. There's a program that's run by an organization that has relations with the government, and I'm sure it's probably still running. Just, you know, Google for JET program Japan, where college graduates go to Japan and they teach alongside Japanese English teachers. And the idea is very good, but the execution is a waste of money, I think. Japanese English teachers, teachers just in general are very independent people. They like having control of their own class, and that's what attracts them to the job. And also, if they don't speak English very well, then they're not very happy being in front of a whole class with a native speaker. And the way that English is taught in Japan, the reason why Japanese don't speak English very well is because of the education system. Their method of teaching English was taught to them by the Americans, and it's basically grammar translation. The exam you have to take to go into high school is fill in the blank. There's not much need for speaking or listening. So the teachers teach towards the exam, and you know, what do you expect me to do? I'm going to skip this train. I'll take the next one and just keep talking. So essentially, in most classes, you're a human tape recorder. Some teachers will just let you take control and do whatever you want. Depends on the teacher. So, for 3 years, I did that for 3 years, I taught, and since the Japanese English teachers don't use... Whoops, that train's moving, so it's messing up my microphone. Japanese teachers don't use a whole lot of English in class. They speak probably 98% Japanese. When the subway comes or leaves the station, it creates a vacuum and messes up the microphone. So listening to a teacher teach the same course, or the same lesson, you know, three times a day with all the different teachers, it was a great way for me to learn Japanese, and by the time I was finished, I could teach the whole class in Japanese if I wanted to. By the third year, I was I had had enough of it, and it showed. The one thing that really made me realize I had to get out of there was every so often the Board of Education, like the prefectural Board of Education, would come and observe the classes. And this was a huge event for the teachers. It was very important to them. So they would practice the kids on the lesson, you know, weeks ahead of time. Like, this student's going to be asked this question, and this is how you're going to answer. So the whole lesson was completely staged. And the effort that they put into those demonstration lessons, if they could only put just a fraction of it into their normal lessons, they could do a whole lot more. And it was just very discouraging. So I guess teachers had complained about my attitude. And by the third year, they said, you know, we're not going to renew your contract. I said, good, because I already found another job. I found a job conducting educational programs on the internet. So I was helping Japanese schools, Japanese students. Wait for this train. Imagine how train conductors don't go deaf. My second job here was helping Japanese teachers and students work online with other teachers and students from around the world, and that was the best job I've ever had. That was you know, I was really, really motivated for that job, and I miss it still, because the teachers I worked with were like the best teachers in the world, really. And then I had a few other jobs after that. So, let's go back to the questions here. Did you ever think you would stay as long as you had? No, but it's just, the thing is, you know, it's easier to get up and go to work than it is to decide that you're going to, you know, pack up years and years worth of shit and ship it back to the U.S. And now, the way I am now, whenever I go back to the U.S., after a week or two, I start feeling like it's time to go home. Because I'm just not used to America, and you know, actually I've lived my whole adult life. I've lived here since I was 21 in Japan. I really don't know anything about living in the U.S. So it's kind of a scary thought. And also my wife and my kids, I think it would be very difficult for them to live in the U.S. We live in the same neighborhood as my wife's family. And I don't want to split up the family. My wife doesn't split up the family, so you know, for better or for worse, I'm here. So let's see. What do I like about Japan? I'm used to it, just like we're used to where you live. Do you think you'll ever leave? No, I'll probably die here. what can you recommend for someone who is planning a long-term life in Japan? Learn Japanese. Did you ever lose your mind? Yes. First 3 years were very difficult. It's just, you know, you kind of lose your identity as a person when you become a foreigner. And the way I learned to deal with that was I finally decided, you know, my apartment is like an embassy. And when I'm in my apartment, I can do whatever I want. You know, I can wear my shoes around if I want, although I didn't. And that just sort of gave me a grounding. Alright, I gotta get on this train, so I gotta pause.
Come, let's go to a place far away with me. Just wait till see. You and me can travel the seas. It'll be something you dream but never thought would come true. But with me, your dream's reality, baby, and that's the truth. So let's go to a place far away with me. Just wait till see. You and me can travel the seas. It'll be something you dream but never thought would come true. But with me, your dream's reality, baby, and that's the truth. So let's go. Girl, let's do it. You and me travel the seas, living luxuriously. I'm ballerific, you are terrific. And you got them good, so I'm all up in it. Let me switch it up, besides how we fuck. You by my side, down the ride a bus. And I know a lot of haters wanna hate on us. We the yin and the yang, no breaking us. Even though I'm on the grind and I'm making bucks, I find time to hold you down when I'm making bucks. Always got time for you like an angel does. I'ma spread my wings, let's fly away. You the only girl that ever been stuck on my brain. If you ain't around, then I can't maintain. And easy like a little bass, I need some cane. I know what I'm saying, it's not the same. Wood coming from any other main. But my accents proof ain't the same. What I came to like it like a chain. Ain't even my aim or my game. I'ma do what I can to make sure you're right. I'ma show you right. I done told you right. Through them lonely nights, I'ma loan my life. I'ma make sure you never feel alone in life. I'ma never give you reason to believe it. Behind your back, I'm creeping and cheating. You the only girl I'm seeing. I wanna be with you. Ain't even gotta worry about these other chicks. Tell me they ain't shit. Tell me they ain't shit. Compared to you, they just another bitch. So come with me, girl. We already hit. So let's take it to the next level.
Come, let's go to a place far away with me. Just wait till see. You and me can travel the seas. It'll be something you dream but never thought would come true. But with me, your dream's reality, baby, and that's the truth. So let's go to a place far away with me. Just wait till see. You and me can travel the seas. It'll be something you dream but never thought would come true. But with me, your dream's reality, baby, and that's the truth. So let's go.
Baby, I tell you no lies. I got no secrets to hide. Okay. So just close your eyes. Hold your replies. I'll hold you tight.
I'll hold
trust
you
when
tight.
I say, I ain't like them other dudes. Uh-uh. And I can see through your eyes in the past. All this lying has straight up blinded you.
Blinded
but
you.
I'm the truth. I ain't out running loose. I'm just with you.
I'm so
jealous. I love the test and notice and pay attention. You see, they quick to take your spot. That's why this fighting needs to stop. Give me some time and that certain question. Be ready to pop.
Ready
just
to
go
pop.
By what you see, not what you heard from these chickens. All these birds, sticks and stones can't break these words when we're apart. My heart
is
I know not, it might not mean that much, but realize what
realize.
We got special. Can't nobody duplicate us, so let's get away. It ain't no rush,
cause
there's no negatives in our relationship. Plus,
plus.
The greatest when we make it love.
Love.
Our bodies intertwined and touch.
Uh-huh.
You're an angel from up above, feels like heaven when I bust.
Come,
when
let's
I
go bust. To a place far away with me. Just wait till see. You and me can travel the seas. It'll be something you dream but never thought would come true. But with me, your dream's reality, baby, and that's the truth. So let's go to a place far away with me. Just wait till see. You and me can travel the seas. It'll be something you dream but never thought would come true. But with me, your dream's reality, baby, and that's the truth. So let's go to a place far away with me. Just wait till see. You and me can travel the seas. It'll be something you dream but never thought would come true. But with me, your dream's reality, baby, and that's the truth. So let's go to a place far away with me. Just wait till see. You and me can travel the seas. It'll be something you dream but never thought would come true. But with me, your dream's reality, baby, and that's the truth. So let's go.
Okay, so while I was on the train, you were listening to the Beach Babe What song from Meth Lab Productions. I decided I would play that while I was on the train. You know what? These questions are so interesting. I bet I already answered them a long time ago and completely forgot. And I wonder if I'm answering the same way. So the next question was... this guy Ken wants to live in Japan for a long time. So he asks, how can I protect myself from losing my mind? That's a good question. Keep in mind that no matter how long you live in Japan, you will always be considered a foreigner unless you look Japanese and speak Japanese. You have to do both. If it's just one, you're always going to be considered a foreigner. People are always going to ask you the same questions. So to keep from losing your mind, you need people who will relate to you as a human being and not as a foreigner, and just treat you like a human being. And that's something that my wife does, even though, I always speak Japanese with her, but she treats me just like a regular human being, and so do her family members. And, the people I consider friends are all that way, too. And how long did it take you to become comfortable in Japan and feel at home? 3 to 5 years, I guess. It happens over time. It doesn't happen overnight. And I guess when I stopped craving stuff from the U.S. and when I started going home and feeling like, this isn't my home anymore, because my hometown had changed, and all my friends were, all over the place. I just felt like I didn't know anybody in America anymore. And whenever I went back, the differences, the cultural differences, just kind of freaked me out all the time. Like, you go to a restaurant in the U.S., and the waitress is very, very friendly with you. And it's not that way at all in Japan. Well, probably because they don't get tipped. You don't tip people in Japan. So basically, they just take your order. There's no small talk or anything like that. I've heard about, I've met foreigners in Japan that haven't been here for a long time. And I mention that to them, and they say, oh, yeah, well, I like to try to bring a little bit of American culture here and, try to talk to them, and it kind of freaks them out. And, don't do that. It's the when in Rome thing. So Ken is moving to Japan next year, and he's trying to repair himself. So Ken, if you're moving, close to Tokyo, look me up. Somebody I had written to, or had written to me, and I wrote back from the Netherlands, had mentioned that I'm not like all the other podcasters, that I don't have this celebrity complex. That's because I have no idea why the hell I'm podcasting. Just a normal guy that happens to live in Japan. So when someone writes me a fan letter, it just doesn't seem like it's to me, Because I don't think of myself that way at all. I think it's kind of funny. Someone had mentioned a comment to the beach video. I really like that video. I've been watching that. Every time I get a comment, I get an email from YouTube saying someone left a comment, I'll watch the video again. And of course I see the mistakes, but that's just how I am. But someone had said, the woman whose butt you filmed should probably be honored if she knew that she was being filmed by Rich Pav. And I see my little videos as tolerable home movies, really. You watch home movies from a lot of people and you just want to get the hell out of the room. And I'm just proud if I can make a home movie that's watchable. I really don't understand a lot about what makes a podcaster popular or what makes the videos that are popular on YouTube so popular? I think I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to turn left instead of right and go out of the station. Just do a little walk here, just where I was walking before. Might be a little windy. I never seem to do podcasts anywhere with good audio. Oh, shit. Now I'm just going to walk into the station. It's too windy. The videos that get so popular on YouTube, I can't watch it for 10 seconds. And then I have this one video that I did when I was in a supermarket. And if you look up Rich Pav on YouTube, you'll find it. I just took my camera and I held it at about waist level, and I walked through the supermarket. And it was before I had that really ultra cheapo wide angle lens. So it was really, really jumpy and crooked. And it makes me seasick to watch it. And there was no anything to it. It was just, you know, me walking through the supermarket with a camera. And that's the most popular video that I have up on YouTube. And I just don't get it. I mean, I didn't even try to do a good job. And I've said this before, you know, I've put podcasts up that I don't even want to listen. I don't listen to any other podcasts. I can't stand listening to them. And then I always get answers back to how great they were, and I just don't get it. I wish I did. It seems like I'm the only one who doesn't get it. But I can listen to other people who do personal podcasts like Dan Klass. And he's a great storyteller. That's his forte, because he's an actor. He's very honest, and he's easy to listen to. And I was not surprised when, about a month ago, he did a podcast and said, I'm going to take a break for a while because, you know, I said something about a family member, and I didn't think it was really, you know, it wasn't anything nasty. I was just, you know, talking about a story. But somebody heard it and told them, and then it got back to his wife, and there was a bit of an argument or a controversy in his family. And he started to realize that, you know, this podcasting stuff isn't worth wrecking relationships, you know, close relationships. And that's the fear that I had, and that was why I stopped for a while. And I really don't know if I'm going to, you know, start up again like I did, you know, back to the level that I was doing before. Because, you know, I might tell a story and not mention the person's name, but describe what happened. And even though I'm not talking about a particular person, they might think I am. Because one of the things I would really like to talk about is how I learned to deal with difficult people. And to do that, you have to, you know, describe what the situation was. And somebody, you know, who knows me through work might think I'm talking about them, even though I might not be. And, you know, the shit could really hit the fan. So it's a shame. A lot of the things that I wish I could talk about, I can't. What was the other question? Somebody asked me, how did I learn Japanese? And the way that I learn languages is I just do what I like to do, and I just do it in Japanese or I do it in Spanish. So whatever it is, if I want to learn, if there's something I have to learn computer related, I'll buy a book in Japanese and read it. Or, you know, if I'm interested in, like, for example, in Harry Potter, I'll buy the Harry Potter books in Japanese and in English, and I'll read the Japanese first and look up the words I don't know and try to understand as much as I possibly can. And then I'll read the same chapter in English and see what I didn't understand or what I didn't pick up, and then go back to the translation and read it again, and then put the two together. That was great. I picked up a lot of vocabulary that way. And I used my Palm Pilot as a dictionary and as a flashcard reader. which was very, very convenient. Unfortunately, I've broken my third Palm Pilot by dropping it, so I don't have that anymore. I have to go out and buy another one. I just don't have the money for it right now. But that was the best way I had to learn Japanese. Definitely use a computer to look up words, because it's so easy to do that you'll do it more frequently. When I was before the internet, I was using a paper dictionary looking up kanji, and it's just such a chore that you avoid it. And while there's advantages to using the paper dictionary to look up kanji, because you have to look it up by radical, you learn the radicals, and they're important to know. I think it's much better to use a computer as much as possible. The other disadvantage of using a computer is that when you're writing, you don't learn to write the characters, you only learn to recognize them. So when I have to write something by hand, I have to type it out on my cell phone first and then copy it. And I practically have to do that with my address. My kids know more Japanese than I do. Tony, the 9-year-old, knows more, can write more Japanese than I can. I think our handwriting is about the same. So basically, whatever you like to do, just do it in Japanese, and nothing's, just whatever it is. I mean, even if you like Penthouse Letters, read Penthouse Letters in Japanese. I like to read short articles. So there's a free magazine that's put out every week, usually on Thursdays, called R25. It's put up by recruits. And the articles are short, and they're timely, and it's free, so if you read it, even if you don't get around to reading it, you don't feel guilty. So I read that a lot, and when I'm done with my life, I should read it. All right, I'm in a horrible place to do podcasting. Everywhere I've been today has been too loud. So I will just end it here. And, if you got questions, send them in. Give me something to talk about. I'm going to run out. All right, thanks for listening. Talk to you later.